It is good to be here once again as we're here to study the Word of God and put to practice the things that we study. That's very important so we will grow and be what God would have us to be. I want to talk about this morning pleasing his neighbor for his good. Pleasing his neighbor for his good. And it's going to take a lot of strength to do that. To please one's neighbor for his good, for his best interest. And we'll see, we're not talking about going against God's word to do this. But that's what God wants us to do. And most of all, I want to focus on those who are members of the body of Christ and how we need to please them for their good. Now, Romans chapter 15, and we've looked at it before. I see some more good teaching from Romans chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And it deals with eating meat. And we know that we can eat any meat we want to eat. But if it's going to offend our brother, then we don't do that in front of him. And spreading that out, there could be a lot of things that comes under that line of thought. Some things are not wrong, but if it's going to offend people, then you don't want to do that. So he says here, we then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak, or the scruples or the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Now, I do want to say, it's hard not to please yourself. It's just hard to do that, as it is for me. Because I just believe that we have to work on that, because it's just hard. Most people want to please themselves. But we see here, Paul talks about strong ought to bear the scruples or the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Another good thought as we look at this verse, He wants somebody to be strong. He wants the members of the church, especially those of us who've been in the church a long time, to be strong. He talked about to the Corinthians, quit you like men, be strong. He said, act like men and be strong. Remember Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. But in that text, he talks about being strong. He don't want us to be weak. He knows there's going to be weak people in the church, but everybody don't need to be weak. Look what he says in verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. He says, please your neighbor. In things that are right, of course. All right. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. So we can see that Christ did what was good for others. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Not for our practice, but our learning. The Old Testament is for our learning. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I want you to go back to verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. We can please one another as long as we don't go against the Word of God. We got to stay in the Scriptures. If we please Christ, we will yield ourselves in order to have the unity that God wants us to have in the body of Christ. Romans 15, 1 through 3, 13. We'll maybe read some of that later. But here's the thing. And even with, I dealt with brethren and what we call them liberal brethren. And I went to a Bible study on one Sunday evening with, and after the Bible study, they were serving food. I didn't stay, and I told them that I couldn't, and told them why. But I feel like that I'm stronger than that. I didn't eat it because I just left. I was there for the teaching. I wasn't there for the food, and I didn't know they was going to even serve food. But I told them no. I need to move on. And we have talked about that before. But in matters of doctrine, we must yield to Christ. In matters of teaching, we must yield to Christ. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 and 19, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. When it comes to Bible authority, Christ has preeminence. 2 John 9 tells us, whoever transgresseth and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine that the apostles taught, do not receive him into your house, nor give him a greeting. For he who bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So in matters of liberty, we must yield to others. In liberty now, when it comes to Christ, we have to do what he says no matter what. In matters of liberty, we must yield to others. Romans 14, look at 19. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. That word pursue means to chase after. We need to chase after the things which make for peace. Chase after things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. Now he's talking about in my home. If I invite a man over and I know he believes eating meat is wrong, I just won't serve the meat. Okay. Dealing with churches having meals, that's another subject, but you know, we don't get into that. Because the work of the church may engage in the work of evangelism, preaching the gospel, edification, building up the members, and benevolence, taking care of the needy saints. Anything else, there's no work for that we need to be doing. So, look at verse 21 here. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is weak. Somebody sometime asked the question, is it okay to use a little wine, cooking wine, to cook? There may not be nothing wrong with that. But that's me saying it. I'm talking about cooking wine now. They sometimes they use a little beer for cooking. I don't think it's enough in there to do nothing, but some brother may think it's wrong, but so if you think it's wrong, just don't use it. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything, underscore anything, by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. It's good sometimes to read body language. It's just good to read body language, and you can tell if people, sometimes you can tell when they don't like something, and we have to respect that. You can read body language. I remember when I was delivering parts, and he would be going through his parts, and I could read his body language without him saying anything. I don't have all my parts. I could read that. And then I said, is something wrong? He said, yeah, I don't have all my parts. And it's good to know people. It's good to read body language. It's good to do that. And that way, you can tell when something is not exactly right. And so Paul was addressing this because he knew that brethren had a problem with it. There in Romans 14, let me look at here, Romans chapter 14, and look at verse, let's back up here a little bit. Romans 14 and 23. Let's look at 22. Sorry about that. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. So whatever we do, we have to be fully persuaded in our own minds. If we're not fully persuaded in our own minds, even though it's something is not wrong, and we're not fully persuaded in our own minds, we're condemning ourselves. Christ did not please himself. And like I said, it's hard to have to work on that, to be unselfish. Just to be unselfish. If you look at Philippians 2, in Philippians chapter 2, I think it's a good verse to look at. Philippians chapter 2 and 1. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, everybody find that, don't want to be too fast. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. See what he says right there? You know, if I was going to sit down and eat a meal, and I knew that brother, he believes in eating meat is wrong, I love meat. It's good protein for me. The condition I have, diabetes, and I love, but I'm gonna have to just make it until for an hour or whatever time we're together, and on vegetables, and you know, I've got to be strong in that area. I can't be weak, because he's weak, and you got too weak, you ain't gonna get nothing done. All right, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. See what he says there? Now look at verse 5 there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, Jesus is the example. I'm going to tell you something. Stay in the book, because Jesus is the example. He's the example not only in what he did, but also in his attitudes and motives. He is the example. He didn't please himself. He pleased his Father. If you go back to Romans 15 and 2 now, Romans chapter 15 and 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. See what he says there? So once we find out what your brother or sister likes, then you serve it. You serve that. Now, I'm not just talking about food or whatever. Just it could be several things. Once you find out what your brother or sister like, serve it. It's going to build them up. That's what Paul was saying there. And that's what we want to do. We want to build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. Once you find out what they don't like, don't serve it. Try to please your brothers and sisters in Christ. Romans 15, 2 through 3, which we already read that. Christ did what was good for others. And here's a good, strong point that I thought about. He never asked what's in it for me. He never asked what's in it for me, but what's best for the other person. And the church, think about what Christ did for the church. He felt like it wasn't about him. It was about how he could edify and build up the church. And he died for the church, shed his blood for the church. And that's just something for us to think about. He was just unselfish. He wasn't selfish. Try to please your brother as Christ did. Romans 15, 1 through 3, which we already read. With the help of God and Scripture, be patient so you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. I think we read that just at the very beginning of verses 4 through 6. Be patient so you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. And that's what we want to do. We want to glorify God. Pleasing your brother and sister builds them up. The church is in the work of spiritually building our members. In 1 Peter 2, look at 1 Peter 2 and 5 now. We'll just read one verse here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. We are in the business of spiritually building members. And there's going to be babes in Christ as the church grow, not only here but other places. There's going to be babes in Christ, and there's going to be weak people, weak members. There's going to be strong members. 1 Peter 2 and 5, but we're in the business of building. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we offer up, we're being built up, and we offer up these spiritual sacrifices. I just thought about that. What would be a spiritual sacrifice? Singing. I think that would be a spiritual sacrifice. Singing. praying, things of that nature, giving, spiritual sacrifice. Those things would be come under that, I do believe. Now, God did not intend for Christians to live and function alone. You know, I know there's times we may want a little, what we call kickback time, but God, He didn't create us to be people just to be alone. God did not intend for Christians to live and function alone. We are the family of God, the church working together, okay? You remember Hebrews 10:24? Well, I'm gonna go over and read that. I can quote it, but about let us consider one another. He didn't intend for us to just function and be alone and don't want to be bothered and all of that. That's not God's way. He didn't want to. You know, I hope I don't ever get that away. There's times that we all like to have some time alone. But to just live that away. And I don't want nobody bothering me, and I'm not going to bother nobody, and I'm going to live my life that way. God never intended for us to be that way. Yeah, you know, if we can't be affected with, you know, you take a person that just moves to an island by himself, how can he help somebody? He's on that island and he moves there. He don't want to be bothered with nobody. He can't help nobody. And nobody can help him. So Christians are not to be that way, not to have that attitude. Hebrews 10:24, it says here, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. He says we need to consider one another. We need to think about their needs. I need to think about their needs. They need to think about my needs. And we are to consider one another. Christians are children of God and must consider the other Christians in the family of God. That's what God wants us to do. Stir up one another or provoke one another to love, he says, in good works. If I'm on an island by myself, I've got my little island right here. On an island by myself, once again, I cannot provoke my brother or stir him up unto love and good works. And here we find that's what Paul, he says, let us consider one another, well, the Hebrew writer, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. The proper provoking is to encourage fellow Christians to love and good work. Now, we're not to provoke one another to anger. We have to be careful. We are not to do that. But we are to provoke one another, stir up one another unto love and good works. One must be unselfish and help his brother along the road of life. Christ did not, put himself in a situation where he's alone and he never did help anybody. When he came on this earth, Jesus went about doing good. He went about helping people. Christ did good deeds, expecting nothing in return. He's our example. He did good deeds, expecting nothing in return. Sometimes people may have the attitude, what's in it for me? What's in this for me? Well, Christ did good works and good deeds, and he wasn't looking for nothing in return. Christ is our example. He did good out of love. He did all those works. He did it out of love. You remember the lady last week we talked about hope. And she had an issue of blood. And in a crowd of people, and Jesus was there, And she said, if I could only touch his garment, I'll be made whole. She had faith in Jesus. She believed in him. And Jesus said, who touched me? He could feel the power going out of him, so to speak. And the woman with the issue of blood said, it was me. And she was healed right then. But she had hope in Jesus. At the end of my lesson, I'll talk just a little bit about hope. God wants us to encourage one another, Hebrews 10:24. Let us encourage one another. God is the God of hope. And let's look at Romans 15 and verse 13. Let's go back to Romans 15 and 13. God is the God of hope. Now let me show you how this works. Romans 15 and 13. And I'm almost finished here. Romans chapter 15 and 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can see here that God is the God of hope. He's the God of hope because hope is in him, and he gives everyone hope through the word. That's how we're able to get this hope, is through the word. And it's so important to study the word so we can get this hope. We can understand hope. Pardon me. Joy and peace comes by belief in God's word and obedience to it. If we want joy and peace, we got to believe God's word. We must obey it. We're going to have joy and peace. The little children's song, I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. And somebody say, where? It's down in my heart and down in my heart. And if we want joy and peace, and we got to believe the Bible and got to study and just stay in those scriptures. In this, Christians abound in hope. When we stay in the scriptures, we abound in hope. The fullness of joy and peace is to the end that hope may abound more and more in Christians. And it can. This hope can abound more and more in us as we read and study the Bible. This hope is from God and the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to read Ephesians 1:13-14, and we've studied it before. Who is the earnest of the Christians, or the Christians' inheritance, our hope. Let me say that again. This hope is from God and the Holy Spirit, the hope that we're looking for. Some people's hope is built on something else, on sand. Our hope is upon Jesus Christ, who is the earnest of the Christians' inheritance, our hope. We need to know people. As I'm looking at, let each one please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. We need to know people. We just need to study people. We need to know them, their likes and dislikes. Concerning church members, Romans 15:2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Please his neighbor is to be accomplished by respecting his views on matters discussing in the preceding chapter, that we discussed in the preceding chapter. We have to respect his views. This will have effect on us as we edify him, and that's what we have to do, try to edify him, building him up in the service of the Lord. Such a result would be the opposite to that set forth by the comments at verse 16 of chapter 14. Paul is speaking by inspiration. He says, I know. Let's look at Romans 14 and 14. We're almost finished here. Romans chapter 14 and 14. Romans 14 and verse 14 here. I know and am convinced by the Lord that there is nothing unclean of himself. Make sure I'm in the right place here. And I am. I'm in the right place. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Talking about eating meat, there's nothing wrong with it. 1 Timothy 4 and 4, Paul addresses that to Timothy. And let's keep reading here down to verse 16. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. See what he says? I can force that on him. I know there's nothing wrong with eating meat, but I can force that on him. And Paul said, don't let your good be spoken of as evil. You see what he's saying there? I hope you can. By not respecting his views and me pushing that on him, my good can be spoken of as evil. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good. Why? Leading to edification, Romans 15 and 2. There's nothing wrong with playing cards for fun. Sometimes I've dealt with brethren. No, Brother Woods. It's just a sin to play cards, even for fun. It's not wrong. But I wouldn't play in front of him. It's nothing wrong if it's going to cause him to stumble, and that's what Paul is talking about here. It's going to offend him. He's made weak. Don't play cards in his presence. But it's okay to play cards. It's okay to play pool. It's okay to play that skee ball. Fit is like skee ball. She told me not to call her name, but sometimes it's hard to do that. Be patient with people. I have to, as a gospel preacher, I have to be patient with people. And I just have to know, too, just when to walk away. Say, well, brother, I know, okay, I understand how you feel, but we'll study on this another time. If you can't see it, and it's kind of getting a little heated up, I said, well, I got something else I need to do. And let him think about those scriptures. And but still be patient with him. Be patient. And matter of fact, the Bible says be patient with all men. And it takes strength to do that. It just takes strength for me. And it takes strength for... And I'm not saying I'm super selfish, but I think that's the things I have to work on. And that's what we need to do. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian. If not, you need to be a Christian. You've heard the gospel, need to believe it. Repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with him in baptism. And if you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make your life right with God while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.